You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there, and in the words of broken Matt Hardy, Matt Wilhelm tonight, or this afternoon, the Indian shop, delete the Blue Jays once and for all. A bad year for Toronto.
I don't know what that means.
Barking up the Cleveland tree. Delete, what happens when you press the delete button on your on a keyboard?
Right.
It erases something.
I understand.
And the Blue Jays of 2016, the Jays of Blue from the Toronto, delete!
Yes.
Delete!
How about this for a stat? I overheard this, I think, in News Channel 5 Saturday night when I was doing like some of my Buckeye coverage after the Cleveland Indians had won, you know, the second home game, is that the Cleveland teams have gone undefeated since they were down 3-1 to the Warriors in the playoffs.
That's right. That's right. And by the way, during the game last night, did you see the playoff or the NBA promo video that ESPN was doing?
No.
Oh, man. They aired during the playoffs, and they aired it also on the during the Monday Night Football game. But it starts off with like LeBron's block of J.R. Smith, and it's got like a heartbeat, and they just show all the different clips, like Durant holding up his Warriors jerseys and all the stuff. And it was pretty good.
You ready for NBA?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I'm ready for like the NBA playoffs.
Right.
Like this season of the NBA especially, like all anybody, like this is like when you know, if you knew that you could have like Tom Brady's Patriots against the 19, we'll call it 88 San Francisco 49ers of Joe Montana, and you knew that that was going to happen in the Super Bowl, like let's just get to the Super Bowl and let's just have that happen.
Really?
Let's just see it.
I agree. And I think just to talk NBA here for a hot second is – there are some interesting storylines in the NBA that I'm excited to see. You know, one of which is, you know, Melo and Derrick Rose in New York, as well as, you know, Joakim Noah. That interests me slightly, just simply because the Cavs are in the East. I don't believe them to be a threat like most people think they are. I want to see the young Lakers and what they do out on the West. Clippers, to me, it's Blake Griffin and Chris Paul and everybody else, and they're gonna you know, finish fourth in the West, make the playoffs, and get dumped in the first two rounds. Not excited about that. I'm interested to see the fall of Oklahoma City with Russ. I know he's your guy. I think he can carry a basketball team, but there weren't many weapons outside of Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook there. And I want to see if, you know, if Durant makes as big a difference as people think he's going to make with the Golden State Warriors having to share one basketball. And I want to see how far the Oklahoma City will fall, if at all, without Durant.
I want to see the one regular season game that I'm looking forward to see is Russ versus Durant.
Like, I mean, I'm of course looking forward to the Cavs. I'm talking about everything but the Cavs.
Sure. I think Russ wants to dunk on Durant and literally like rip his head off.
See, I think I agree with that. I believe that Russell Westbrook probably for the next 3 years, maybe four, will now that Durant is not there, will lead the NBA in scoring. That's my bold NBA prediction. Russ will lead the NBA in scoring.
Russ is
now that he's going to have, instead of going, you know, 11 of 18, you know, with a couple threes and going to the line, you know, 5 to 10 times in a game and average, you know, getting 26. I think he's just going to be a monster. He's going to be 30 plus a night most nights, and darn close and average probably close to a triple double.
I think he could average triple-double. I think it's possible. I think if that's what he wants to do, he could go like Oscar Robertson. Like the big O! He could do it. Yes. But anyway, it's fun. The Tribe continues to look good. Tito pulling all the right strings. Coco Crisp making diving catches. Kip going yard. Playoff baseball is fun to watch. That was the first entire pitch one to pitch whatever, last pitch that I've watched all year, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
The coolest thing to me about watching the Indians is how much fun those guys are having in some of the biggest moments of their Major League Baseball careers. Meaning, a lot of these guys have never been to the playoffs before. And that's why, you know, listening to the pressers and every time they come up and it's like, you know, career postseason is just, you know, a small number of at-bats that have simply only happened in 2016. And yet to see these guys play so loose, get out ahead, and just have fun with each other is really, really entertaining to me.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I'll have to say, and it's like, he is my, at this point right now, because of what he's done in the playoffs, I am as excited for Andrew Miller to come and pitch as any batter for the Indians to be up at bat. Like, you know, knowing that a guy could go yard, you know, Napoli or Kipnis or Lindor and what they do at, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 and you know, Jose Ramirez and their ability to score runs is very, very exciting. And it's like, you know, you want Napoli to come up and go yard in those times, but there's nothing more exciting right now. And that's why I believe, you know, the pitching and why we're here is our pitching has given us the ability to go deep into the playoffs. There's nothing more exciting than Andrew Miller coming in. And I get more excited seeing a punch out from Andrew Miller than I did Napoli's home run yesterday.
Andrew Miller time is awesome.
It's the best.
As soon as I wanted to come in. And then they kind of mixed it up yesterday. They had Allen come in first, and then Miller, obviously a great.
And I thought the coolest thing was, is, I mean, for him to retire, you know, in the bottom of the eighth, you know, on four pitches and get out of that inning and knowing that he was going to come back and close on maybe like a dozen to 14 pitches, knowing you only had to throw 20 pitches, knowing you're going to have Kluber, you know, knock on wood, go seven strong, you know, so say six and a third, 6 2/3. Miller comes in and gets that last out or last two outs, pitches the seventh, you know, maybe into the eighth, and then you get Cody Allen coming in and close it out. That's what I'm talking about.
That is what I'm talking about.
And for me
well.
To be able to recite the number of names that I now know amongst the Cleveland Indians just goes to show how much I don't watch during the season. But I'm on the bandwagon. I am in it. I am Cleveland more so than anything.
So you
I
got
have,
the hat.
I have
on,
every
you got
single
10 cent beer night.
I do 10 cent beer night 1974. See, I didn't have to look at it.
Yeah,
I had to double check though.
You did. You did.
June 4th.
It was a verification.
It was. But I'm all in.
A verification.
Yeah.
There we go. Let's go. All right. On today's show here, let's start up with some news. Joel Bitonio underwent successful surgery on his injured foot. He will be out for the rest of the year. Will be fine to go for the beginning of camp in 2017. Secondly, Jordan Poyer has been placed on injured reserve as well following the lacerated kidney. He is done for the year. The team promoted Ed Reynolds, former fifth-round pick of the Eagles 2 years ago, to the active roster from our practice squad. He's a safety out of Stanford. So those are kind of the roster moves there for the Browns. Also, by the way, Cody Kessler nominated for the Pepsi Rookie of the Week. The third time in 6 weeks the Browns have had somebody nominated. It's been Corey Coleman, Carl Nassib, and now Cody Kessler. And you can vote for him at NFL.com/rookies. And I just want to say one thing. Get off my chest.
You can say more than one.
I will over the course of the show, but I will say one thing right now. We all know that the Browns are 0-6, okay? I know it. You know it. Everybody knows it. The expectations going into the season were not high for the wins and losses. They are already down to their third quarterback, okay? So there are a lot of things. You can see, though, if you're being honest with yourself, I believe, that they are better coached, that they are competitive. You like the way they're playing. There are positives to see there. One of those positives is Cody Kessler. I am not saying that Cody Kessler is the long-term franchise solution for this team at the quarterback position. I will say, however, that Cody Kessler has impressed me and has vastly exceeded the expectations that I had for him, that you had for him, that I think most people had for him with the way that he has played. What I don't understand is for a Browns fan base in some cases, and certainly this could be just certain people on Twitter, that are looking for positive things about this team and about the season, and maybe they don't want to, but why you're fighting over the fact Cody Kessler has been a pleasant surprise. I don't think you can argue that. If you want to argue that and say he's not Carson Wentz, that's fine. He's not Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz got picked second in the draft. Cody Kessler went much later. If you still are crying about the Browns not taking Carson Wentz, that's fine. It's not going to change it, and it's going to have to be viewed at the end of the day for all the players they got in that deal plus the quarterback they draft. Could it end up being a mistake? Of course it could be. Could it end up being a good thing? Of course it could be as well. But what I'm saying is, fighting Cody Kessler, okay, his arm is not as strong as Carson Wentz. He doesn't have enough arm strength. He has not underthrown a deep ball and had it intercepted. He drove the ball very effectively in that 15 to 20-yard range. He averages more air yards per attempt than Carson Wentz on this season. So So he is playing well. And we'll have a guy from Number Fire on again. Not us, an objective person, to come talk about that today and what they've seen from Cody Kessler and his performance so far this season. What I wish we could get is like something, you know, because you know they can track like on baseball. I thought it was interesting. Like they track that play that Lindor made from his knees that he threw the ball 62 miles an hour. I would love to see something in the NFL that does that for the quarterbacks so we can know in practical circumstances, like how different is Cody Kessler's 15-yard, you know, dig versus...
And you're talking the velocity? The velocity,
yeah, versus Drew Brees's, versus Phillip Rivers, versus, you know, I'd love to know that. I'm sure that that's doable somehow.
If they can do it in baseball, they can do it in football. It's just a matter of someone doing it.
Right, so that is certainly, you know, interesting. But again, Cody Kessler is playing much better than I... If there's one person out there that thought he was going to play this well, and I know you're saying, well, they haven't won. If he was on a better overall team.
I think take our guy Quantrell Bishop, you know, on Twitter.
I love
and his videos talking about Dak Prescott and Cody Kessler. And you've made that analogy as well. Put Cody Kessler in Dallas behind that offensive line with that run game and the consistency. And Dak Prescott hasn't had the weapons. Dez Bryant hasn't played, you know what, but two games, three games this season out of six?
Yep.
Or out of five, I think, because they've had their bye. Or I think they're on their bye. So out of six.
He's played six.
Played six. It's, Cody Kessler getting protected. Cody Kessler would be doing what Dak Prescott's doing, minus maybe some of the improvisation, being in, you know, improvising. I couldn't even say it. Improvising as much with the football because of the athlete that Dak Prescott is. But his ability to stand in the pocket and deliver the football behind our line has been very impressive to me. And I think if you put Dak Prescott here behind our line, Dak Prescott would be doing something similar to Cody Kessler, but he may, in fact, be running for his life a little bit more because he is a rookie, and like all rookies, Mariota did it, Manziel did it, Kaepernick did it. They want to deviate. Robert Griffin III did it. They want to get out of that pocket, and that is not the way of success in the National Football League. You can do it a game. You can do it a half. You can maybe get away with it a few times in a season, but not consistently. So I think you can say that. I mean, it can be said, and that's something, you know, even Riz was talking about on the Really Big Show. They were getting into quarterback rating, you know, in the tops in the league. And I think it was Aaron Rodgers is 20th. Eli Manning is 19th. I think Carson Wentz, is in the 20s, I believe, in quarterback rating. Cody Kessler, 14th.
If he were playing on a winning team right now, this would be one of the great stories. What a genius Hugh Jackson is. He got this guy in the third round. They're down to their third string quarterback. The talent level on the Browns 1-53 compared to the rest of the league is not necessarily on the same. It's close and they're able to be competitive, but that's why the margin for error is so small. This is a team with 18 rookies. That hasn't happened in this league in 6 years where a team has had this high a percentage of their 53-man roster being rookies and first-year players. This is a young team. They are growing, and they are trying, they are competing, but there are some things that you can be excited about this team, and the way that Cody Kessler's played thus far is good. But is he the long-term answer? Don't know. We'll see what happens. We will see what happens going forward with him, and he's going to get another tough test on the road again. I mean, think about that, too, for Cody Kessler. You played before you got knocked out against New England. You didn't even play a quarter. You basically played your entire NFL career on the road.
On the road.
Miami, Washington, Tennessee, then at Cincy. Then they get home for the Jets, and that's a game that, after watching them last night, that I feel like the Browns have
Well, I thought you watched every pitch of the Indians game.
I had two TVs, Mon Frere. Thank
okay,
you very
Mon
little.
Frere.
Yes.
Then you weren't watching
you.
Every pitch.
My peripherals, dog. My peripherals. I had my peripherals. All right, 216-578-0850. Call us up. It is Tuesday. We have to send our wishes to Andrew Gribble, who is out sick today. So hopefully a speedy recovery for Gribbs. And I believe that you have some wishes to extend today.
I absolutely do. It is, I won't say the age, but it is my beautiful wife's birthday today. Her actual birthday is today.
29.
And so happy birthday, Vanessa. And she's enjoying some girl time right now as we speak. I think the nails have been done and lunch is being served just about right now.
Ah. Fantastic. Happy birthday, V. We're very excited to celebrate with you on CBD here today. By the way, coming up, Cody Kessler at 1:30, John Costco from Pro Football Focus at 2 o'clock, and then Jim Sands, a writer and podcaster for Number Fire, which is a FanDuel company, wrote that article that Cody Kessler's performance is being overlooked. He'll join us at 2:30 here today, all on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Again, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850 to call us up. Dog Pound. Tune into News Channel 5 every Sunday morning at 11 to get the latest behind-the-scenes news and information about your Cleveland Browns. Watch Browns Countdown at 11 o'clock with me, Nathan Zagura, Andy Baskin, Matt Wilhelm, and Hanford Dixon getting you ready for all of the Browns games each and every week. Again, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Call us up here on CBD. Matt, we're going to talk some stats later on. Obviously, John Costco is going to come in. Let's go back to this Titans game for a second. And just when you look at the guys on defense, again, another big game from Danny Shelton, another solid game from Emmanuel Ogba. Kirksey was flying around. What did you think overall of the Browns' defensive effort against this Tennessee Titans team?
I think overall especially at the start of the football game, I thought we were bought into the plan that Ray Horton had created to limit their biggest strength. And it looked a lot like what Bill Belichick did to us. They want to run the football. We wanted to run the football. He took that away, and you forced Kessler, you know, to have to throw the football, or Hugh Jackson to call some maybe out of the ordinary play calls, especially that screen, you know, down on the play that Kessler did get hurt. And then, you know, evaluation of Charlie Whitehurst was questionable after that. But I thought, you know, limiting DeMarco Murray early in that football game was really frustrating them as an offense. And I think as you look, you know, they were relying on Supernaw to make some plays from the tight end position, and they weren't going to let Delanie Walker beat them, and I know you pointed that out yesterday. And then, you know, just some of the long passes, you know, were just very, very frustrating from defensive backfield. But I thought Emmanuel Ogba played physical all day. I thought, again, Danny Shelton is playing at a Pro Bowl level right now. It's that, you know, that other body outside of those two guys that keeps rotating an awful lot, you know, with Nassib and with some of the other Steven Paya, you know, on rundowns. Paya plays with a tenacity and a physicality that I think is needed along the offensive line. It's just not always a playmaking type of tenacity. He penetrates, but then what? You know, and that's a good thing and a bad thing. And some teams can actually use that aggressiveness against you with some trap plays or misdirection. And then I think naturally for me in a 3-4 defense, because, you know, I'm critical of that, even though sometimes we're playing more 4-3-ish with Ray Horton in this scheme, is I want to see production from the defensive ends and the outside linebackers in regards to affecting the passer. And I thought time and time again, Marcus Mariota, who was a guy that wants to improvise and wants to get out and make throws on the run, and that offense sometimes gives him opportunities to do that, we just weren't around Marcus Mariota. And he was throwing from a clean pocket. And so what's frustrating to me, and I know they've got, you know, multiple first-round picks invested, or top 10 picks or 15 picks invested in an offensive line, was Cody Kessler again, even after a rib and chest contusion, gets beat around and, you know, and hammered when dropping back to pass. And the other team's quarterback, Tom Brady last week, Marcus Mariota this past week, both just stand in there and just deliver the football accurately down the field. And that's hard. That's the, you know, the yin and the yang of a defense. You've got to get a bit of pressure to make it easy on the back end. If the back end can cover, you'll get there in the rush game as well.
It's interesting. I think that the biggest area of concern for this team offensively is the same as it was last year. I mean, it was probably receiver last year, I guess, and I take quarterback out of it. Offensive line, I think, has been the most up and down part of it. A lot of injuries have happened there, obviously. And then the back end of the defense, again, continues to struggle. You have injuries. Tremont's missed time. Hayden's missed time. You've got now Jordan Poyer on IR, not getting a good enough play from the safety position, at least in my opinion, not getting good enough play from the safety position, and you lose now Jordan Poyer for the rest of the season with a lacerated kidney. So they've got to come up with something on the back end of this defense, but I believe this, this team defensively is doing much better up front than we ever expected them to do, at least compared from last year to this year, a massive turnaround. The back end is going to be a problem, and you're looking at who you've got coming up. You know, there are going to be some good throwing football teams. You've got A.J. Green coming at you. Then you got Brandon Marshall. Then you've got Dez Bryant. Then you've got, you know, the receivers of Baltimore who scored two touchdowns last time. Then the Steelers, then the Giants. I mean, this is it's not going to get any easier for the back end of this defense, and they need to figure out a way to turn it around.
Absolutely. And what's so unfortunate and pops into my head just from a divisional standpoint and a rivalry standpoint is, you know, we know Big Ben has not yet been ruled out for this Sunday. I don't believe, after having that meniscus surgery arthroscopically, But you look how things are going to play out, and I don't have Pittsburgh's schedule in front of me either, but it's just in time for the Steelers, you know, for the Steelers to come here on November 20th. Big Ben's going to be getting in this, getting healthy again. And it's like, can you just catch one break? Because I think, you know, Browns stopping Le'Veon Bell and limiting Antonio Brown with Landry Jones at quarterback is one thing, and what they do as an offense with Ben Roethlisberger in there and healthy is another thing, and obviously one of the most explosive offenses in the National Football League.
It is, and you see when Ben gets back, maybe the Browns will catch a break there, and he'll still be on his way back from his knee. They said about 4 weeks for him, which would put him on schedule to return November the 20th.
That's my point.
Which would be against, of course, our Cleveland Browns. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. When you watch this game back, too, the other thing I want to ask you, what's going on with the ground game? And to me, it seems like they're just not getting the push that they were getting early in the year. Crow and Duke were getting downfield before taking contact. Now they're taking contact typically at the line of scrimmage.
I think a lot of it has to do with the continuity. Continuity of the five individuals not playing together, but, you know, kind of just being grouped together and a decision being made Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And there's a lot to be said about gelling with the guy that you're playing next to. There's also, I mean, when a team comes in the same way that we were able to go out and stop and kind of stymie DeMarco Murray early in that football game, that was a point of emphasis for Ray Horton and the Cleveland Browns to stop and potentially win the Tennessee Titans game, is you have to limit DeMarco Murray in that run game. And we did for a very long time. So it's really a huge point of emphasis for whatever team. And that's what we've seen multiple weeks in a row, the Tennessee Titans and what they've done to stymie Crow and to stymie Duke. And I think it's kind of, it's your key to the game moving forward against the Bengals, but it's have the defense keep the game close and not have Cody Kessler have to play from behind. Because I think that the balance of a Hugh Jackson offense is best when it's right. I mean, he'll probably throw the ball more than he wants to run, it, because that's the natural habit of an offensive play caller in the National Football League, unless you're just like unstoppable on the ground. But if you can have 50-50 balance with a rookie quarterback, you know, starting in his fourth football game, that gives you the best chance to win, relying on and keep the defense guessing instead of making everything, you know, you're either going to get blitzed or you're going to play coverage. So Cody's going to have to throw under pressure, or he's going to have to throw into tight windows with seven guys dropping.
Well, and let me say this, and
go
what
ahead.
You're talking about is so right, okay? Maybe, I don't know, is it time to rethink deferring? Because this is a team that has gone out now. The Titans scored on their first drive. Washington scored on their first two. New England scored on their first three.
If Miami and when I'm ever a head coach, I would always defer.
Because it makes sense, because you can get that double dip. I
Correct.
Get that. But right now, the Browns, I think, are struggling from the fact that they are constantly finding themselves in a hole immediately when the game starts. The defense, for whatever reason, is not coming out and getting the job done on those early possessions, and that is putting this team in a significant hole.
Yeah, but there's nothing you can do, because against New England, New England won the toss
and deferred. Right.
We got the ball first, went three and out. Tom Brady led a scoring drive. What was impressive to see was us coming back and getting our own scoring drive, and then they go up 14-7, then Cody Kessler gets hurt.
So let me ask you this, then maybe it's a different question altogether, right? What would you say is the reason that the Browns have gotten off to slow starts defensively?
That I'll get into that in a minute, but here's what I would do if I were a head football coach. First of all, I love deferring, because if I have a true belief and a leader at quarterback, he's very good in a 2 minute, 4 minute offense. If we have guys that can manage that going into the football game, I would always defer. Okay. And I'd put it on my defense to get off the field in under 5 minutes and give the football back to our offense. That's hands down. Because
okay.
It's worked against me when I was in the league, or it worked for me when I was in the league an awful lot. But here's why I would potentially take the football. If you feel like you have an ironclad offensive game plan that you're able to go out and exploit, you know, some of the matchups or some of the nuances that you've put in this week against a team, and you feel confident you can go down the field and get points, I would take the football. If you've had and also not only a great plan, but if you had a great week of practice with these guys in the plan, and guys are energized, you as a head football coach want to look all 11 guys on offense in the eyes and go, if we win the toss, I want to take the football and let's go down and score.
Yeah.
And that gets the motivation of those 11 guys to create some accountability about them to let's not only see this through to go get 7 points, but the belief of our head coach, because if we do it now, he'll do it next week and the next week and the next week, even though the game plan and the situation is going to be different because it's a different team. But you want to, when a coach puts their trust in you to go do something and you do it, that's very fulfilling.
Sure, it's very fulfilling. It is, but they haven't done it, and I know they're going against those scripted plays, so that says to me the other team knows our tendencies early in games, and they're having success with their 15
And that's
plays.
What's frustrating. That's what also is kind of playing against us. Not only are we playing 5 of 7 on the road, but to have, you know, a week 14 or a week 13 bye, you know, we're relying heavily on I'm not saying I don't know this to be true, but I would imagine that we rely heavily on some of our analytics department to provide us, you know, with video breakdown and numbers associated with tendencies on down and distance on a certain hash at certain points in the game. What do we do, you know, coming out after, you know, in the second half based on the situation in the game? Because that's, and I think that's what Hugh Jackson sometimes as a, or a play caller in general, not just Hugh Jackson, has to take into account is, okay, I've gone run, run, pass, how many times in my first 5 drives? You know, what can I do? Can I go pass, run, pass? Can I go pass, run, run? And the game is ever changing, and it dictates that. And that's why sometimes being a play caller chews them up and spits them out. But those that can do it and get a beat and start rolling are, you know, considered the best in the game. Hugh Jackson is one of those. It just, in this case right now with Cleveland, we are on our third quarterback. We do have essentially, I'll say it, what we thought was our best wide receiver injured. We have multiple injuries along the offensive line and not the same guys, no continuity. We have Gary Barnidge, who's attracting, you know, more attention because of the year he had last year. So he's not quite the playmaker at times that you saw on film taking this job with Gary Barnidge having that 1,000-yard year. So a lot has changed. And I think in some cases, we've seen a little bit less of the creativity from Hugh Jackson because of the 11 that we march out there every week is so different. It's putting handcuffs on him as a play caller.
It certainly is. By the way, some news right now for the Cleveland Browns safety. Jordan Poyer has been discharged from St. Thomas Midtown Hospital in Nashville. He will return to Cleveland this afternoon. The team placed him on injured reserve earlier today. Obviously, that is good news there. Also, center Austin Ryder underwent reconstructive ACL surgery this morning at University Hospitals. Surgery was performed by Cleveland Browns head team physician James Voos. He is expected to make a full recovery for the 2017 season. That is what the latest out of the Berea on the Browns. Good news for Jordan Poyer. Glad to hear he has been discharged and hopefully will be back with the Browns, obviously, sooner rather than later, and he gets to join his team, hopefully come back to Cleveland later today. Let's get to the phones real quickly, 216-578-0850. Larry in Sandusky is with us. Larry, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I got a question for Matt about Kessler's arm strength.
Sure.
I hear guys talking about that he can't throw it downfield, you know, like the big arms are in the NFL. I was just wondering, what do they do? How do they make his arm strength, you know, get that ball down there? You know, could we see realistically an extra 20 yards?
I don't know how far Cody Kessler can throw the football, and that's really not what we're measuring. But I think it's how the velocity with which, and I think the angle that he throws the deep ball to whoever he happens to be throwing it to. Throwing a deep ball to Andrew Hawkins is different than throwing a deep ball to Terrell Pryor. And I think from an accuracy standpoint, Cody Kessler has done that very well. Now, what can Cody Kessler do? He's only going to be able to increase his arm strength by so much as a professional. Some of that's going to happen on the field by getting the reps and throwing the football and building confidence and knowing when to rip it and knowing. And even further is there are just, you know, with our strength and conditioning staff, there are things that he can do to strengthen. We see those oddball, you know, shoulder warm-up exercises that the quarterbacks do. It's there's got to be a methodology to why they do it. And I'm sure there are, you know, weight-bearing exercises that he can do to increase, you know, the capacity of his shoulder that will develop velocity over time.
Yes, but there is a cap on where
he can get there.
What I'm saying is what I've been impressed by is how he's been able to drive the ball in that 10 to 20 yard range, especially that 15 to 20 yard range. He is going to have to do a whole heck of a lot you know, more to answer these critics in terms of down the field throwing. But I believe that Cody Kessler is going to be capable of doing just that. 216-578-0850. Again, he's shown something. What is his ceiling? I don't know. What are the physical limitations? I don't know. What I do know is that he's playing very efficient, very good football for the Cleveland Browns right now as a quarterback in the National Football
League. Yeah, and only because, you know, we all have, you know, Indians fever and baseball is on our mind. What you have to take into account for Cody Kessler right now is Cody Kessler, because he's the third string quarterback, he should be sitting and watching and taking limited snaps throughout the week, as they should have been given to Robert Griffin III or Josh McCown, in getting ready for whatever opponent we play, and maybe running our scout team and developing, you know, a mind for the NFL game and developing that arm that we just talked about. It's the equivalent to a team drafting a baseball player, say in the middle rounds, between the third and tenth round, right? And that guy's going to probably start in double A, maybe triple A, based on what this prospect is. And what does he have to do? He's just got to throw a bunch of innings, right? And maybe he throws a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, or maybe throws a 91-mile-an-hour fastball, but through over his time in the minor leagues developing, and I think that's, you know, and we're learning with trial by fire, as we all kind of knew this season would be for such a young team, that 91-mile-an-hour fastball becomes a 95, 96 over the course of maturing from age 21 to 24, and now you're ready for the bigs. Sure. And the same way that the individual who at 21 years old, 22 years old, can throw 100 but not over the plate, refines his accuracy and realizes that I can throw 96, 97 over the plate. It doesn't have to be 100 miles an hour, but yet both be efficient and major league pitchers in given the development that they've received by playing in AAA, as I mentioned, or AA. And in this case, Cody Kessler is starting for an NFL franchise that in no way, shape, or form 3 months ago thought Cody Kessler would ever take a snap, you know, in a football game this year.
Of course not. And I think if anybody showed anything, you can overcome physical limitations. I mean, look, the guy who had the best physical tools here was Brandon Whedon. Obviously, the ultimate quarterback is a guy who can throw the ball like Whedon, has the mind like a Manning or a Brady. That's the ultimate guy. That's a rare bird. And you're seeing quarterback play, I think, in the NFL overall is down. The guys that are able to slide by are guys that can do it mentally week in and week out. And I think Kessler, at least on that level, has shown a lot of aptitude. What his ceiling will be determined, I think, ultimately by his physicality. But I think this arm thing is being made way too big of a deal of. He's basically playing out there with a guy who wasn't a receiver last year as the number one receiver, the guy that he's thrown for a 100-yard game to, a touchdown against Washington, two touchdowns this week. He's made Terrell Pryor very successful. Barnage has been solid. Hawkins is there, number two. Lewis is a brand new guy as the number two receiver, really, number three. This is not, it's not like he's working with a full arsenal. And when we have the number fire guy on, he'll talk a little bit about that. But getting Corey Coleman back should help. But again, this is just one thing I think to enjoy. Enjoy the fact that, and we don't know how long it will last, but that Cody Kessler is playing good quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Hopefully this team will win, but a lot goes into winning. Certainly Cody Kessler not the reason. And it's funny to me that last year, in what I would call similar circumstances, Josh McCown was playing good quarterback, although he turned the ball over a little bit, but was playing very good quarterback. And week in and week out, everybody would sing the praises of Josh McCown, and we'd say he's not the reason that the Browns are losing. Now you have it happening, but with a guy who's not my age and people aren't wanting to be positive about it. I mean, the fact that he has been able to play this well is kind of remarkable. And I think that goes to what the work he's put in, but also to the job that Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton are doing. It's kind of remarkable that the Browns are in the top half of the NFL in yards per play. If you were to draw up quarterback, running backs, wide receivers, tight end for the Browns team versus every other team in the NFL, and you have to draft them as a unit, are you drafting the Browns in the top 16?
No.
Absolutely not. And yet they're top half of the league. I think Hugh Jackson's done a heck of a job, and that's one of, because the Browns aren't winning, it's being somewhat overlooked, and that's fair because at the end of the day, all that matters in the National Football League is winning, but there are things, if you want to see them, that are good here for the Browns team. If there are, also, there are things that are bad here if you want to see them for the Browns team. You don't get 0-6 is not, you know, just an accident per se.
No.
So that's what's going on here. All right, when we come back, we'll hear from Cody Kessler. 216-578-0850. You can call us up as well here at CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I've been counting on my steps. Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl. 216-578-0850. Before we get to Cody Kessler, we'll go back to the phone lines. We've got Phil in Brecksville with us. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nathan, Matt. You know, I heard on the pregame show that the ratings are down, football ratings, and honestly, when I heard it, it really didn't surprise me. I guess I'd be interested what your opinions are. My opinion is it's just a crap game. I mean, who wants to watch the Jets, you know, last night when you know, they can't score a touchdown? Who wants to watch Houston on Sunday night? There's so many good games out there, inter rival, Washington, Dallas, Green Bay, Chicago. And unless, you know, they said on the pregame there was it could have been Colin Kaepernick or the election. You know, honestly, I just think they just got to put better games out there. I was wondering what you guys think.
I think that that's part of it. I think some people think, you know, there have been some stars out for the league. And I think that, yeah, I think there's a little bit of an oversaturation. I think you're also dealing with a situation where you've got, you know, the games that look good on paper turn out not to be. Jets, Cardinals could have been a good game, was not a marquee game at all. They've had some issues with that. I think, yeah, there are some issues right now for the National Football League, and the ratings are clearly showing that.
I agree, and I think there's more parity now than ever. I think injuries are affecting the ratings. I think the politics and the election are affecting ratings. And I think for me personally, and this is kind of my perspective, I've kind of felt the same way about the NBA maybe 2 or 3 years ago, where there's about a dozen guys in the NBA that I actually care about what they do night in, night out. And eventually those guys are going to get old and they're going to retire, like Kobe. You know, it's like, you know, the Blake Griffins and the Chris Pauls have, you know, 5 to 7 more years and then they're going to be gone. And there's a bunch of no-name guys that get drafted every year. Like, I couldn't tell you. I think I know what he looks like, but the number one overall pick in this year's NBA draft, couldn't tell you.
Simmons.
Oh, yeah, Ben Simmons. I know him. But then who's the second kid? The kid they went out to L.A.
I don't know.
Whatever, out of Duke. Okay? Yeah. Don't even know his name, right? But I guess I know what team he went to. After that, I couldn't tell you who drafted third. And I know that football is obviously, you know, my wheelhouse, but Drew Brees, 3 years left. Phillip Rivers, 3-4 years left. You know, all these guys have Brady, 3-4 years, even though he wants to play another decade. It's like the players that were the reason why we watched football 5 years ago are now getting old.
Yeah.
You know, and Eli Manning, you know, these franchise quarterbacks, you know, Joe Flacco's not playing well. Eli's not playing well. Carson Palmer's going to be done 3 years. I mean, franchise quarterbacks in 3 years are all going to be gone. And the next wave of guys, you know, name the next franchise. Blake Bortles is struggling. Andrew Luck is struggling. Teddy Bridgewater's hurt. Derek Carr's a star, but he's on the West Coast in Oakland. Not a lot of people get to see that. You know, Alex Smith's going to be done the next 3 years. The next wave of guys, you know, Sam Bradford's super under the radar. Everyone's kind of like burned because of how bad he was with Philly and with the Rams for so long that they don't believe or really want to watch who he is with Minnesota, even though they're fun to watch. But it's like watching a 1-0 baseball game. That's like watching the Vikings.
Sure.
So it's just not fun anymore. And I think Big Ben, and that's, I think my father-in-law is in town, Vanessa's dad is in, and he said the one thing that is just so resounding to me, and he goes, man, he goes, Big Ben and all the beatings that he's taken to play as big as he's played for so long, imagine that dude at 40, 45, 50 years old and the life he's going to live. Now he's going to live a great life with $150 million in the bank.
Of course.
But, I mean, that dude is going to be hurting later in life because of the, you know, the type of game that he plays. And all those guys in 3-4 years are going to be gone. And that next wave of quarterback is?
A big question.
Who?
It's a big question mark. Rodgers seems to be struggling. Carson Palmer looks like he's fallen off a little bit of a cliff this year.
I mean, the Jets haven't had a friend. I mean, Geno Smith, Fitzpatrick.
No, but like Fitzpatrick was good last year, so at least their offense was
Tannehill's not good. I mean, go division by division and name me some guys who are the heir apparent to the Brees, Rivers, Brady, Rodgers, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, of what the last decade of football has been for us.
There aren't.
They're not.
There aren't.
And I think that's why numbers are down.
Yeah, you lose Peyton Manning. Obviously, Brady was out. But, I mean, if you were to look at it right now and go through which team feels like they have their franchise quarterback, Patriots, Brady, yeah, maybe Garoppolo in the future. So,
maybe.
Okay.
You think let me ask you this question. I said this to my father-in-law, too, as we were out and about today. Do you think the Patriots pay Garoppolo?
I think they'll trade him.
Okay. I was going
to
say.
If Brady wants to play 3 more years, he's going to play 3 more years.
But I meant, do you not want to have Garoppolo? Is it worth the Patriots paying Garoppolo good money, almost like mid-tier starter money, to be the next guy in the pick? Because if I were Garoppolo, I'd go, pay me $8 to $10 million a year.
He's not a first-round pick.
Right.
So if you're Garoppolo, you're going to take eight to him, and when somebody's going to offer you 17
but
on
wouldn't
the open
you,
market.
But wouldn't you just want to continue to play in New England with Bill Belichick and win and potentially put on more rings and pick up where Brady left off?
First of all, I don't think there's any guarantee that Bill Belichick coaches beyond Tom Brady.
Okay.
I mean, I just think if you're talking about – you're not going to take – he has the opportunity to get
franchise
quarterback money.
But I agree, but as we have seen, don't you believe that without Tom Brady that the Patriot way is what works and Tom Brady just makes it better?
I do think that, but I just don't – if he wants to play three more years, Garoppolo is going to be a free agent before – they could, so I think they would move him for an asset as opposed to lose him for nothing.
Okay.
All right. So Patriots, okay, we'll say yes for now. They got Tom Brady. So at least for like, let's call it the next 3 to 4 years.
Sure.
And Patriots, yes. Bills, no. Dolphins, no. Jets, no. Steelers, yes. Ravens, yes. Bengals, I think they are probably having questions.
Right.
They never won a playoff game with Anthony Dalton. Browns, no. Texans, I think Brock Osweiler stinks. Titans, Mariota. Yeah, but I mean the jury's
trending
still somewhat
up.
Out.
Trending up, jury out.
Jacksonville, no.
No.
Bortles is terrible. Colts, Luck.
Luck, but got to put pieces around him. Yes.
Derek Carr with the Raiders. Yes. Broncos, no. Chiefs, no. Chargers.
3 to 4 years, just like Brady.
Yeah. I mean, unless they Alex Smith is a pretty loose franchise quarterback.
Right.
Cowboys with Dak. I mean, it's early to say, but I'm sure they feel that way. But so did Jacksonville 2 years ago with Blake Bortles.
Correct.
So too early jury to out. Tell. Redskins, no. Eagles, too early to tell. Giants, yes, with Eli, but again, he's not going
to
be
around
for forever.
3 to 4 year
guy. Vikings, Sam Bradford, jury's still out. Packers, Aaron Rodgers, yes. Lions, Stafford, yes. Bears, no. Falcons, Matt Ryan, yes. Buccaneers, Winston, I'll say yes. Saints, 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. Panthers, so yes. Rivers, Breeze.
Brady,
and Eli Manning are all in the same basket.
And Roethlisberger.
And Roethlisberger,
probably.
Yes.
Yeah. The NFC South is the one division where all four teams do, but they think Saints are going to have to think about a succession plan. The West,
correct.
Russell Wilson, yes. Rams, jury's still out. They believe they do in Jared Goff, but the jury's still out.
Right.
Cardinals, no. Carson nope. Palmer's got like another year, and the 49ers, no.
Correct.
So, yeah, they're just
so
not great quarterbacks.
So, less than half
play.
The league.
Yes, knows what's where they're at the most important position in all of sports. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Let's go to Lewis and Shaker. Lewis, welcome.
How are you?
Good.
Hey,
you doing?
When is Coleman coming back?
Corey Coleman, no update yet. Hopefully we'll have one tomorrow. But originally it was targeted for this week against Cincinnati. If not, I would assume next week against the Jets. But the sooner the better as far as I'm concerned. Chevy in New Jersey.
Yes, I think the reason why everyone's putting Tets under the microscope is because there's such a great draft coming up. We got Myles Garrett at defensive end, Jabril Pepper, strong safety. If we don't draft a quarterback, we can shore up this team once and for all. And Kessler could be that guy.
He could be, and Kessler could play well enough that you say, okay, I don't need to go. There are four or five quarterbacks I like. I'm going to have two picks. I could take that defensive star early and then take a quarterback in the middle of the rounds. Mage Trubisky from North Carolina, who's got the Cleveland roots. So there are options there if Kessler plays well. I still think you want ultimately to have that guy that's got all of the intangibles for you, arm strength, intelligence, quick release, physicality, size, et cetera, the bigger frame, and you can go there. But look, there's a long way to go with Cody Kessler. This is three games. That's not even a fifth of it, a full NFL season. So there's a long way to go for him in his evaluation. We're going to get to see him 10 more times, and hopefully 10 more times. And we'll see where those evaluations are. What he's done through the beginning quarter of his career, much better than I think anybody would have anticipated with Cody Kessler. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be at the top of the hour. John Costco from Pro Football Focus will join us to talk about Kessler and this Browns football team after the game against Tennessee.